Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back, you're listening to the Nerdcore podcast, a podcast where music movies and talk about nerd shit. This is episode 220, and it is your Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 5 review, The Bells. Yes, this is take two, because the first one was lost. It was deleted for some stupid reason that only my software understands. But, as always, you guys know that Brad's not here. I don't know why. Apparently, he has a birthday party to attend at his own home, so he can't sneak away for at least 30 to 40 minutes to record a podcast.
I heard you were doing something else.
Yeah. Well, I have somebody else here with me, and he. There's no other words to introduce him by. It's my little brother, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Hi, how you doing? I'm back.
Is there something you want to say?
Is there something that I want to say? Would I rather be here with Brad by my side, talking that nerd shit? Yes, but I guess this is how it's gotta go, huh?
Is there a certain thing you want to do?
Oh, yeah.
Damn, son, you must care a lot about your education.
Man, your mom care a lot about your education around here. Oh, man. So good.
Well, buddy, we're here. We're doing this review.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Season 8, Episode 5, The Bells. If you have not watched it, go ahead and click off, because this is going to be filled with spoiler territory. It's going to be a lot to talk about spoilers. Sadly, I do not have Nikki or Phoenix here, but I do want to point out that Phoenix and Nikki were not fans of this episode. Basically, they loved everything the episode had to offer, a lot of things. They did not like the whole decision to turn Danny heel, basically. But before we even start, I just want to tell you guys, you know, go and follow Phoenix on Twitter. That's his handle. Nikki Sananushi on everything, twitch.tv/Sananushi. You can go follow her. You can use code Phoenix on JerkyXP. So you go do that, please. Just going to do that for them, since they were technically on the episode, but they just aren't here for this episode, because the episode they were on, it was lost. But, yeah, go and do that stuff. But in the meantime, spoiler warning is in effect in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, this episode was a divisive one. We started off
very divisive.
Yeah, we started off with Varys. Eric, why didn't you invite Mariana into this one?
What's up?
Why didn't you invite Mariana?
Bro, because it's final season, bro.
Well,
I don't even know her like that, bro.
I'm pretty sure she wants to talk Thrones, bro.
But oh well. I mean, I'm here. Is that not enough?
Hashtag them Thrones. All right. Well, we started off with Varys sending his little birds to basically. Man, Varys has some really nice handwriting, by the way. Way better than Eric's.
That he burned a letter.
He was writing a letter basically saying that Rhaegar had a son.
Talking dish.
Named John. Well, named Aegon. And it's actually John. He's the rightful heir because he wants to make sure that John is the one who's left on the throne. And, well, obviously, let's go. That doesn't end up too well. Tyrion talks to Dany that somebody betrayed him. And Dany thought it was John. It's John, not in the way that we think it is. Because John is who told Sansa. Sansa is who told Tyrion. Tyrion's the one who told Varys. So it all starts with John because he wouldn't keep his mouth shut, according to her. And that's why Varys led to betraying
him.
But
that's not his fault.
No, it's not. It's not. By the way, I'm just saying that that's how she thinks it is. But, yeah. So it leads to Varys and Tyrion having a very, very heartfelt goodbye before Dany sentences him to die by Dragonfire.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that took a very long time. That took a very long time for Dracarys to come out, bro.
Which had me thinking.
It's
Do these dragons actually have like an emotional attachment to some of these characters?
I think so. I mean, that's the whole point, bro. I mean, I wouldn't want to hold up on burning someone alive if my mom tells me to burn the guy alive. I'm gonna burn him alive. But if Drogon took such a long time to burn him alive, then there's an emotional attachment to certain people.
He didn't take that long with Dickon and Rickon.
Because he didn't know them.
Dickon and who's the other one?
Lord Tarly.
Lord Tarly and Dickon Tarly. Yeah.
What is his name?
Randall Tarly. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Randall.
Yeah. So that happened, and another stupid decision by Dany, but. It also, you know, she was kind of put up in a bind because if she doesn't execute him, it's a sign of weakness about her. And she already had basically told Varys he was on thin ice for working with Robert Baratheon before.
Yeah.
So.
It just was just something that made sense to happen.
Yeah. So sadly, it had to happen. I love Varys. Varys is one of my favorite characters just because he's the guy who is for the people, only for the people. And he does things because in the sense that it will help the people out. So sadly that he's gone, but he's served his purpose. And remember, what's it called? Melisandre told Varys, like you, I have to die in this strange place. So Varys died on Westeros, just like what Melisandre said that she would die. She would die in Westeros as well. But,
yeah.
So rest in peace, Varys.
I mean, if you think about it, it was a very smart move by Daenerys, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think it necessarily had to happen, right?
In the eyes of a ruler who's trying to establish, power to make, if word would have gotten out, like, Varys betrayed her and she didn't do anything, how many people are going to take her seriously?
I mean, but what do you gain by killing one? What do you gain by killing one of the most powerful people in Westeros?
Well, to make sure that he doesn't spread information anymore.
No one else knows the secret. No one else knows the secret. You know what I mean?
So now he would have been able to spread the secret. He was like Littlefinger.
No, but I mean, it was such a little secret. Well, not a little secret, right? But so little many, like, a small amount of people knew the secret.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, like.
Yeah. By the way, I forgot.
It's just something that is.
Yeah.
What?
I forgot to get initial thoughts. I'm so sorry. I forgot to get initial thoughts. Eric, you want to tell us your initial thoughts on the episode?
I really enjoyed it, honestly. Yeah, I really did enjoy it. I know a lot of people are hating on it. And talking about, like, the character arcs and it. Character arcs and everything, but like, this is cinema we're talking about, art that we're talking about, and not everything should be a closed circle, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So like, Jaime, Cersei, Jaime going back to Cersei and dying, like, I mean, we would have loved to see him turn around and be kill her, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. Cersei being killed under rubble, I think she would have rather been killed by someone rather than be killed alone with Jaime. You know what I mean?
But
Danny going all Hamlet, going Hamlet on King's Landing, it's something that's very noticeable in this season, you know what I mean? She's slowly progressing to be that evil-ass bad bitch, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, basically Aegon the Conqueror.
Yeah, basically Aegon the Conqueror. Basically, this person who has been taken up by all this thought about wanting to take power.
Mm-hmm.
All that messes with your mind, and then your closest advisor being killed. Mm-hmm. Then that's gonna fuck you up a little bit more.
Your closest advisor, your best friend,
Your best friend?
Yeah, what's it called?
Like all that's gonna mess with your mind.
Losing the person that she loves. I'm metaphorically losing him because he's not lost, but obviously things aren't the same as they were before. Like, it all
not
led
all,
to the
man.
Mad Queen.
And just because she goes around and destroys all of King's Landing doesn't mean that, you know, she's a broken character now, right? Because I think that's what everyone's fucking mad, because they're mad that Dany lost her cool and that she destroyed all of King's Landing.
Yeah.
And that there was no point in doing it. Well, you know what I mean? Like, not every character has to have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Also, Dany is a very flawed character. We have seen those flaws so many times.
Mm-hmm. 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 You know, these are characters that, you want to see them win at the end because you've stuck with them for 8 seasons, but, you know, they're very as much human as you are, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
they're living in the moment as well.
Also, people would be like, you know, Danny's not the only one, of course. Even John's flawed. John has a lot of flaws.
He's an idiot. He's not as big of an idiot as Robb Stark was, but he's dumb at times.
Yeah, he's really done stupid things sometimes, and what's it called? He learns from them. But you know, this was everything coming down. Plus, like I said, I've always recommended this. Eric has the book. He loves the book. The World of Ice and Fire book basically gives you a whole look into what happened before Game of Thrones, the show. So it basically leads from the Children of the Forest and the First Men, all the way to Robert's Rebellion. And in there you learn about the various amounts of Targaryen rulers, and a lot of the Targaryens were developing the Mad Gene, and a lot of them were what's it called? We look at Aerys, the Mad King, and this was inevitable. She is her father's daughter.
Yeah, and you know, she's trying to make, you know, these, like, it's the stan culture. You know what I mean? Like, they wanna see whoever they're standing. They wanna see them, you know, work. You know what I mean? They wanna see them. Oh yeah, Dany's gonna be queen. Like, you know, like, or be like, oh, Dany like conquered Westeros through the right way, but like, you know, like, you gotta put your loyalties aside for a moment, and you just gotta say like, oh, I'm loving what they're doing with this character, right?
Yeah. By the way,
you know, because it's a very good detail, a very good way to make her go mad. You know what I mean? Like, how much more how much more to the character are the writers adding because she's going mad? It's just such a piece of art. You know, would you rather see your character be this badass that saves the world? Hell yeah, but at the same time, you know, it's pretty badass to see your character turn into this crazy ass motherfucker that just goes and burns the whole damn city, bro.
Yeah. And like I said, I said it 1,000 times. I said, Danny's influence does not have to be good or bad. Danny's influence post this world will be either in a good version or like, okay, this is what we need to do, but also in the way like, this is what we don't need to be doing. And by the way, people that were saying, you know, she's done so many things in Essos, people of Essos had no idea what the Targaryen lineage was, you know, how the history of the Targaryens. When she comes to Westeros, she couldn't expect these people to love her off the bat because these people know what happened with the Targaryens, especially the North. King Aerys II, he burned Brandon Stark alive. You know, that's not something they're going to forgive.
Yeah, this is Westeros. You have a whole history behind your name in Westeros. In Essos, you're seen as somebody who's saving the world and
just
somebody who's freeing all the slaves, but because they don't know who your family was. In Westeros, you're a conqueror. Like, in Essos, you're freeing the people. In Westeros, you're a conqueror. That's just how it goes. And there's no escaping it. And I think how the writers are trying to write it is that Dany doesn't know the difference. You know what I mean? Or doesn't want to understand the difference. Or she's thinking that she can change the people, but you just can't.
Yeah, because through every part of this season, you know, there was some conflict with Dany, and she's always found a way to resolve it. But this is a conflict that she cannot resolve. And that's why I think that's what makes it go boom. And it's like, I'm going to have to burn this whole city down. But look, my thoughts, I love this episode so much. This is my second favorite episode of this series. I mean, this season. I really like this episode. I think that this brought a whole different outlook at the conflict at hand. And I think this makes me even more excited for the finale than I am. It's a little bit of a bittersweet excitement. But I'm really, really excited for what's coming next week because I think that now we have a different look at all this. And it's like, you know, we don't want Danny on. We might not even want Danny on. We might not even want anybody on that throne anymore. But we're going to go ahead and keep on going with the recap.
Go ahead.
After that, what's it called? I believe it was the stuff with, well, we found out, well, but basically, what's it called? Danny told Tyrion that the Targaryen, I mean, the Unsullied caught Jaime trying to leave. Tyrion has a very heartfelt moment with Jaime.
Jaime.
Oh, what an amazing moment between Tyrion and Jaime. Telling him that he was the only reason that he was, what's it called, that he enjoyed growing up with him and that he was the only one who loved him. And it was a really, really good moment from Nicolaj. I can't remember his last name, but Nicolaj and Peter Dinklage, really well acted.
Yeah, amazing acting. And I think they got it. The writers got that scene on point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That could have literally been the last time that a brother that owes his life to his older brother, that could have been the last time they seen each other. And it felt, man, it's.
Mm-hmm. It was on a.
You literally can feel the emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It was a great scene, and we basically lets him go, and Tyrion's still trying to convince her. You know, like, please, I don't want to see the people die, the innocent people die. He goes, just if you hear those bells, please stop. She says yes, and even even ask Jon later on before they invade. That hopefully
the same thing,
and he does act on that. He does stop. Sadly, everything goes south because basically she starts going Mad Queen and just starts burning the whole thing down. But over there in the good old what's it called King's Landing, what's it called? Qyburn is there with Cersei, and the Mountain. You already know how that goes. They're at the Red Keep, basically bringing in all the people. We see Arya and the Hound making their way into town. You know what they're going to do. Yeah. Arya wants to go kill the Hound. The Hound wants to go kill the Mountain. And we also see Jaime trying to sneak his way in.
You mean Arya wants to go kill Cersei, not the Hound.
I'm sorry. Arya wants to kill Cersei. The Hound wants to kill the Mountain. And that was great. Also, Jaime trying to sneak his way in couldn't do it, so he has to go the other way around. Basically doing the plan that, what's it called, that Tyrion told him to do. You know, just take her underneath the Red Keep and then find your way out. And basically leave and live a happy life out of Westeros. That did not happen, but...
not at all.
Yeah. I really liked the whole part. First of all, I wanted to say something. What's it called? Technically, what an amazing episode. I mean, some of those shots were amazing. The tracking shots, cinematography.
Beautifully shot.
Oh, my God. Especially the aerial stuff. Yeah.
Who directed it? Who directed
Shabotnik.
The episode tonight?
Miguel Shabotnik.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shabotnik, I think, by the way. I might be wrong here. Season, Game of Thrones.
Hey, man. Such a beautifully shot episode.
Yeah, I think it is Sapochnik. But yeah, what's it called? That was really, really nice to see, especially with all the people, because it's, you know, this is the last time that people are kind of like, when they're walking in, they're kind of like very calm, and then once the whole stuff starts to happen is when they go like just crazy, bro. Like, you know,
no one's seen a dragon, bro. Like,
they haven't seen a dragon since Aegon the Conqueror.
Yeah.
A full-grown dragon, too, by the way. Because the dragons that would come after, they stopped being fed correctly, so they weren't growing as much as they should have been.
And they were the size of dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's why they had to keep them at the dragon pits. And this is the first time in like almost 50 to 100, I don't know how many years it's been, that they see a full grown dragon.
Yeah, they haven't seen a dragon in generations, and you know, they're calm and collected once they start, you know, moving in, and then they close the doors to the gates to the Red Keep, and it all hell goes loose, and then the dragon appears in.
Miguel Sapochnik directed this one. The last one was directed by David Nutter. I believe the last one is being directed by David Nutter. Oh, no, it's actually being directed by David Benioff and D.B. Wise.
Oh, man.
Ooh, that's really interesting. Yeah, because the last one that was directed from David Benioff and D.B. Wise was... actually, I don't think they directed another one here, but what's it called? Most of these are...
No, they did. I thought they did. What's it called? The Last of the Starks.
Not this season. That was the Last of the Starks was... was what's it called? David Nutter.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's gonna be interesting. But we'll keep on going with that. I really, really, really like the way they handled Clegane Bowl. But what happened after that last interaction between Arya and the Hound? Perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect.
I think it's just the thought that she calls him Sandor.
Oh yeah.
But I don't think anyone's ever called him Sandor.
I don't think they've ever called him Sandor.
He's the Hound to everyone, and to Beric he was Clegane. So, just the thought that you know. Like Arya makes that connection. Like, oh hey, you're human too, and you deserve to be called by your name, not just a surname.
Yeah, he thanks her. She thanks him while she runs. She runs off because what's it called? You don't want to follow me. You know, you don't want to kill her because it's only gonna lead to death. Yeah. And he goes, right, this is what I have to do. But you're better than that. You've always been better than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that. And that's why I don't care if she's never gonna kill Cersei because. She was never, you know, there's a human side to Arya. You know, it's not always the badass assassin. There's more to her. There are more levels to her.
She's gone through so much shit, but at the same time, you know, she still has that head of hers.
She's also the daughter of Ned Stark, you know. She's not what's it called? She's all those kids have a lot from their parents, you know. Sansa is very much like Catelyn in ways, but she is also very much like Ned. Arya is the one who looked so much up to Ned, even dressed, put her hair in the style of Ned in this episode. Yeah,
and I strongly believe that if Arya wanted to kill Cersei, she would have done it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
She would have found a way to kill Cersei, and you know, I think this is just the easiest way for her to do it. And she thought this was the opportunity without, you know, outdoing herself. And then she just thought about it. And, you know, that's when she had that certain character climax that, you know, oh, I gotta go. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Cersei wasn't my enemy. Or maybe she is my enemy, but maybe she's not the biggest threat to my family at the moment. And then she thinks about Dany.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're going to come back in a little bit from this review. We're going to go ahead and let you hear a word from our sponsors here at the Nerdcore, but we'll go ahead and take a break here. So, in the meantime, go ahead and listen to this ad recorded by Ashley. Thank you so much, Ashley. Let's go ahead and do it. You take it away, Ashley. All right, you're back from listening to that awesome ad recorded by Ashley, and you're here to continue listening to this awesome review from us here at the Nerdcore. I'm going to go ahead and keep on going with this recap. You know, I want to talk about Clegane Bowl. If anybody expected this to be a brutal fight, you're wrong, man. This was never about being a brutal fight. This was like a very emotional fight between both of them. I also love the way that I love the way that he killed Qyburn. Basically, Qyburn is telling, Sir Gregor. Basically, hey, man. Like, chill, man. He just pushes him up, dude. Breaks his skull just like that.
He just picks him up. He picks him up and throws him like a fucking football man. I was like, what the hell?
I love that. I loved it.
I would like to see him throw him over, bro.
No, but that was so cool. I thought that was hilarious.
And then Cersei just steps aside and she just walks down the stairs like it's nothing, bro.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm just gonna go ahead and skirt my way out of here. She's like, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, what a. I think that's the scene that I most liked out of the whole episode.
Yeah, you know, that was my
just watching them fight.
Oh yeah, because that wasn't supposed to be a brutal actual fight. No. It was very much. I love that he takes off the helmet and we basically see Darth Vader. Because that was a man, he was not looking good. By the way, that whole fight gave us some of the best shots in this show. When the dragon is doing the fire in the background, and then Sandor is just the higher ground. I mean, what's it called? Sir Gregor has a higher ground over Sandor. So that was really, really good fight. I love the way they ended it. We basically. Gregor is almost about to kill the Hound by doing the same way he almost killed
Oberyn,
and then he just stabs him in the head and throws him off, and they both go into the fire. You know, Sandor goes out by the way that he gave. So the way that Gregor gave him the scar on his face, the one thing that he fears the most, he sucks it up and he kills the mountain by throwing himself into the fire. It's very, very poetic.
Yeah. I love the fight, right? I love the fight. I just didn't like the idea that they tried to make him seem immortal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
like, oh, his head is the Achilles heel.
Well, I mean, that's a relatively known in like the world of pop culture. The only way you kill someone who's been brought back from the dead is by chopping their head off.
But was he actually brought back from the dead?
Yeah.
He wasn't dead.
Zombie.
He was just really injured. And then Qyburn just, you know, stabilized him and like made him look like a
badass. He had poison in his body. He was dying.
I mean, but he wasn't dead.
I don't know. I think there's a reason they call him Zombie Mountain.
Qyburn. Nah. Whatever.
I still loved it. I loved it. I loved
Kugimbo. No, it's still made for a very good scene.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it very much. But I would have liked Mountain to be hurt. You know, rather than just taking a stab in your heart. You know, the Hound's sword is huge, it's humongous. Mm-hmm. And for it to go all in your stomach, I mean, it is what it is. It was still a very good shot. Whoever did the fight cinematography and the sword choreo, very good.
Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and finally talk about, you know, the last parts, the actual fight, what goes on during the fight, and then obviously the Jaime Cersei stuff, and then the ending. So what's it called? Obviously, people are like, so what happened with the scorpion now? You know, why is Dany able to actually dodge this? People also need to realize this is a concentrated Dany. She has one thing on her mind. She is not having anybody else's opinions matter to her. It's just what's on her mind that is concentrating on her. Obviously, she's going to put more concentration on dodging those scorpions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
concentrated Dany and it's a concentrated Drogon.
Yeah. So the Iron Fleet is bye-bye. Well, yeah, I mean, Euron's Iron Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And that she attacks from the back, which is very smart, because then she'll be able to break open the front, so that way Jon and the Unsullied are gonna able to go through there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Which was very, very smart on Dany's hand. What's it called? Hand, which you realize, like, where was that intelligence when you were basically messing up in these last fights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she blames a lot of it on the strategy, but like at the same time, like homegirl, like you can do a little bit too. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like she could have helped.
Yeah,
I think it's just the stakes of the fight at this point. Like this is literally her last draw, and there was not much she could do after this. So, you know, she had to concentrate, yeah. She had to focus, and she had to get it done, and she clearly got it done.
Yeah.
You know, getting the Unsullied and the North in through first and destroying the Golden Fleet, and, you know, that opens up a lot. And, you know, I think she let them on, you know, letting them in, then, you know, that gives them their advantage, and she gets the armies with her too, rather than, oh, she would have left them outside, then, oh, like, she's not thinking about us, but then she opens out the gates, and they run through, and that's why so many of them go along with her.
Yeah. And she wins the battle. She burns down what needs to be burned down. They ring the bells. Mm-hmm. And the Lannister army puts down their weapons. Yeah. It's done. Danny's done. Something snaps in Danny. Mm-hmm. Obviously the madness. And she says, fuck it. I'm going to do it. Goes. Yeah. Basically destroys King's Landing. Is destroying King's Landing. But what I thought was really interesting was how Grey Worm reacted. So John is like, okay, cool, I'm going to stop here. But because Grey Worm reacted the way it did, how Grey Worm reacted and also what Danny was doing is what led to the chaos that you're about to see unfold. And I think that was a big theme of this episode, was about chaos and how war is so chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, the battle still continues. And what's it called? Even John is realizing that this is all chaotic. Like, this is not what we had planned. This is not how we expected things to go. You know, some of his men even doing terrible things, and John has to intervene to make sure that those things don't happen. Like, well, that guy was obviously going to rape that girl, and he stands in to help her and kills the guy off.
Yeah. I, for one, would have liked to see some, you know, John Grey Worm action, you know.
Oh yeah, I feel like it's coming. Into
John's face and like.
Oh, you know, I feel it's coming.
I think they did a really good job of foreshadowing.
Yeah, because you saw that face.
That's something I want to see.
Yeah, I want to see that this Sunday.
What's it called? When Grey Worm comes into the room earlier in the episode and John comes in too, and you know, there's got to be something about it for Daenerys to change languages and telling Grey Worm, oh no, you can just let us speak. There's got to be something happening between those two for them to like have to switch the language rather than, you know, like, oh, like, you know, let's stay a little secretive.
Yeah, because you find out because Tyrion tries to talk in High Valyrian again, and you find out that the Unsullied speak the common tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would love to see. And by the way, this episode reminded me how much I love the fighting style of the Dothraki and the Unsullied. Mm-hmm. You saw Grey Worm just absolutely killing it, like with his moves.
He's an absolute unit.
Yeah,
that man. I think he could take Jon on in battle.
Yeah, you also remember that one scene. The one scene in Meereen when him and Barriss didn't get a. What's it called? Jumped on by the Sons of the Harpy.
Yeah. He practically killed everyone there.
Yeah. So, it's you guys kind of forget that Grey Worm's kind of a badass.
I think he's one of the best. He's top two, and he's not two swordsmen in Westeros at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Or, he's a really, you really know, good just one.
Just fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's able to take on the fighting style of Westeros and Essos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're both very different.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously Euron escaped. The Iron Fleet meets Jaime. Stabs Jaime twice. So they have that fight. I'm just glad Euron's gone. I freaking hate Euron. Like, I... With Cersei, I hate to love Cersei. But with Euron, I just straight hate Euron. He annoys me.
Yeah, he just... I think that's his job.
Yeah.
You know?
I was listening to a, what's it called, a podcast that basically the host was saying that he's written kind of to be over the top. Do you think it's kind of over the top the way he's portrayed?
I think his character is just supposed to be a very excessive character, right? Mm-hmm. he's just supposed to, you know, trying to get his way every time. And then, I don't know, whoever the actor is, he just takes it to heart and wants to, you know, drill that hole in.
Yeah.
And he's just a very selfish character that it just works in our favor, or works in his favor, that it's written that way so that he can be hated by characters, by audience members, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, now, basically, Euron's dead. So, obviously, the rightful heir to the Iron Islands is Yara now.
Yara?
Yep.
I mean, they don't have heirs. They don't have heirs.
Oh, yeah, the people choose them. And basically, all the people that chose Euron are basically dead now. So, it's obviously Yara who's going to be in charge now. So, that's great.
Yeah.
So, then now we
I saw a tweet that said something about Euron dying the same way he came into the show. Or a little bit later into the show, talking about how he got killed by the competition, by the man, rather than, you know, because he always tried to be the man, and then he got killed by Jaime.
He killed his competition. He killed his brother.
Yeah.
So now he dies by the other competition.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, it all comes full circle again for Euron. I think his character arc just was a very minimal one, minimal one, but was such a satisfying one.
Yeah. So, finally, the last part, the part that seems to have people more mad about. This is the one that people are mad. Honestly, I think it's really about how people viewed this character. They really thought that they were seeing a different view to this character, but what people don't realize is that Jaime, there was always a way that Cersei was able to get Jaime back. There was through it all. I believe that Jaime still had some love for Cersei. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you don't. You know, there's always going to be that one person that can just pull you back at any moment. Mm-hmm. And that's Cersei to them. Yeah. You know,
and I thought that death was so poetic.
Yeah, there's no way you're not going to. You know that Cersei's bound to die.
Yeah. I think a lot of people.
If you hear about what happened.
I think a lot of people were just fixated on the whole shipping between Brienne and Jaime. I think you guys got too carried away with that, and I think that's the reason why you can't see what's going on here. You know, they both of them die the way they were brought into the world together, because you remember they're twins. There's only a little slight difference, like a couple of hours between them. Jaime came first, and then Cersei came in after. So it was very poetic. It's the only way I wanted this show to. It's the only way I wanted to see them die. Either both of them kill each other, or they both die together. So I thought that was great. I thought I loved the way they handled that. Now, I understand why people are probably mad at that, but I just don't think you guys have been. There's so much complexities to Jaime, and this is one of them.
Yeah, he's such a role-ridden character, also. You know, I think, as you said before, so many people on Twitter, so many people on, like, blogs and everything, they're so fixated on you know, the ship. They're fixated on Brienne and Jaime ending together because for some reason they have a little love story, but this is not a love triangle. It's clearly not a love triangle.
Yeah. And that's what we always remind people. It's mostly about, you know, stan culture and fandoms. You know, I have my favorite character. Favorite character was Oberyn Martell. He is a very flawed character, too. He's a dumbass. He didn't go for the kill shot, you know?
Yeah.
He's a dumbass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Jaime, to think that Jaime didn't have a couple of flaws in there, even though he had a very redeeming arc, he did. But there was always something that was going to bring him back, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Cersei. Jaime is a human at the end of the day. You know what I mean? You want to, like, Cersei, you want to forget about Cersei, you want to forget about that special somebody, but then, you know, like, you use somebody else to forget about somebody, but then they always pull you in. And, I mean, there was no way Jaime was not going to die by her side. And it happened. They got caught under a lot of rocks, and they die. And it's such a poetic death. And it fits both Cersei and Jaime so well to die that way. Not only together, but by, like, not being killed by somebody necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, that's it. You know, everything is, what's it called, coming down. Arya's trying to escape it. I really like that they were playing with us, with Arya here. They're like, yeah, she might be dead. She might be dead. She might be dead. Oh, no, they opened their eyes. She's not dead. And I was like, my heart stopped for a little bit. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
I was watching the After the episode with Wise and what's his name, Ben?
Yeah, D&D.
And they were talking about how, D&D. And they were talking about how, you know, the reason why he decided to go with Arya is that if you see a character you care about in a lot of trouble and trying to get out of King's Landing, then you're going to feel something. And at the end of the day, they're just trying to get their what's it called? They don't want people to flip to even flip the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, if they would not have followed Arya, they would have been mad and they would have been like, fuck this episode. Like, it's not ending the way it wanted to end.
I don't think people would have kept watching if it was Jon, per se.
Yeah. If it was Jon, they wouldn't be watching. They wouldn't be finishing. But because Arya comes into the shot and we don't know if Arya's still alive, then they're like, oh, yeah, I care about Arya. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was really, really cool. And basically, at the end, she is greeted by a white horse. If people don't know the representation of that, that is actually the representation of death. A white horse.
Yeah.
And she rides off
she
like
the
Old Town Road.
In the back.
Yeah, she got the Old Town
she
Road,
bro.
She
got the horses in the back. She said, I got Gucci on my cowboy hat, bro. Wrangler on my booty.
Yeah.
And she goes off.
Yeah. Where do you think like, Arya's heading?
I don't know, man.
I think it's going back to the north.
I do not know.
Sansa's about to have the most I told you so conversation with Jon.
Is she going to go back to Gendry?
Nah, I don't think so. I definitely don't think so.
Nah.
I think after this is all said and done, she is sailing west.
I don't think so. Or
she'll probably go back to Braavos.
I don't think she can go back to Braavos. She has so much stuff to do in Westeros. She has such a name in Westeros. And knowing Arya, that's what she wanted.
Yeah. Well,
she wanted. She thinks too much about being called the person who killed the Night King to go back to Essos. No way for her to do that.
She did tell the lady in Essos that, you know, she would like to just go west and go to somewhere new.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that was basically the episode. And, it was a really, really good episode to me. I know that people didn't like it. Hey, that's your opinion. Just don't bash people for...
Yeah.
Don't bash people. Don't bash the writers. Don't call for the writers to be fired. Like, come on, guys. Like, it's just a little bit too much. Like, let these creators create, you know? It's at the end of let writers be writers, you know. If you don't agree with it, at least they're making you feel something.
Yeah. I mean, these characters aren't supposed to be redeemable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not all supposed to have finished arcs. They're not all supposed to be a close circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's the beauty of cinema. That's the beauty of TV. That's the beauty of not
art.
Everyone is supposed to fit the archetype. They're not.
Yeah, I love. And so, you know, you can not like the episode. I can maybe understand. I won't agree with it, but I won't bash you for that. But you know, kind of don't like the entitlement to go out after the writers and say that they shouldn't be writing the next Star Wars trilogy. Then I think that's a little bit too much, guys. And I think that we should learn to calm down.
You're sitting on a couch and they're writing.
Yeah, it's not that easy to write, guys.
Part. Yeah, you play your part, let them do their part.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it entertained you to an extent, too. And you were able to feel something.
You're still going to watch next week. Like, it don't matter. Like, the writers, there's 6 episodes.
Yeah.
There's not much they could do.
And we don't know who ordered that. We don't know if it was them, the showrunners, or if it was HBO saying, like, hey.
Or even George R.R. Martin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
like,
I do
like,
agree,
hey,
though.
This is what's got to happen.
I do agree, though. I think 10 episodes would have been better. And I'm realizing
10 episodes. I don't think we need a 10 episode.
At least 8. I don't know. I'm in the camp that is saying they would have benefited a lot more from 10, but I also understand the need to just wrap it up.
Yeah, I don't.
And that's why the rush pacing doesn't matter to me.
What else could you go into in 10 episodes?
I don't know.
That was literally all it could be. Like, literally all that was going to happen in this season was they were going to go fight the Night King. They were going to win. They were going to go back to King's Landing. And they were somehow going to overthrow Cersei.
Yeah.
And then, bam, the finale, we figure out what the hell's going to happen.
Yeah. I still have no idea how they can finish this. But it's going to be really interesting to see what happens next week. But thank you for joining us for this wonderful edition of our Game of Thrones reviews. Tomorrow, you'll be able to listen to the review for the Requiem for a Dream to kick off 2000s movie month. And that will be lots of fun. But in the meantime, this has been this episode. And I want to thank you all so much. You can go leave a rate review on your podcast app of choice. It really helps the feed grow. Eric, you want to let them know where they can find you, bro?
You can find me on Twitter at Eric Menwho, ERICKMENWHO. You can find me on Instagram at ERI.CKM.
Yeah.
You can find me on, I'm not going to give you all my Snapchat. That's not what I'm going to do. But that's where you can find me.
Yep.
And if you're on the UT campus, well, you can find me there too.
And make sure you let us know if you want Eric on more episodes. Yeah, for sure. Eric will get on the It Chapter 2 review. He was on the first It review.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, way back. It was like your second episode, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it?
Yes.
It was your second episode.
It was.
It was me, you, and Alex. It was you, me, and Alex.
Yeah. And we even had to put Alex, what's it called, Google Hangouts crapped out on us because of the internet. We had to put Alex on the phone.
That's right.
Good times.
And here we are on Discord.
Good times. But yeah, I wanted to point that out. You know, let us know if you want Eric on more episodes. But in the meantime, it's been a fun time. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at @TheNerdCore_, Instagram @TheNerdCore. Join our Facebook group, The Nerdverse, the official Nerdcore group, for lots of fun discussions on like episodes like this. And we'll have one in there soon, so that way we can get some thoughts in, preparing us for the finale. But you can go search up the group, or you can go to facebook.com/group/TheNerdCore, CORPS. Also, shout out to our executive producer, Grayson Barker 98 on Instagram, WarnerHitman 98 on Twitter. You can become one too by going to www.patreon.com/TheNerdCore and pledge to the $15 tier. For $15 a month, you become an executive producer of this podcast. And also, I'm going to go ahead and give you guys a nice little hint, because we're going to change a little bit about the podcast's Patreon. You can also become an associate producer at the $10 tier. So if you don't want to become an executive producer, you can also become an associate producer, and you can get a pin with that for the $10 tier. So with that being said, it's been a really fun time, guys, and I can't wait to talk Thrones next week. It's going to be a great episode, and then we'll have our season review to get a whole thoughts on the whole episode, on the whole season, and it should be a good time. But in the meantime, it's been a fun time, my friends. We'll see you on the next one. We're going north of the wall. Peace out.